You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the O2 Podcast. Tonight you got Paul and Andrew, and Paul is on the road. We'll get to that in a second, but first we want to give thanks to our partners. We've got Go Wild, timetogowild.com. Those are our guys down there running their social media platform for all things hunters and anglers. Got a cool little shop on there with lots of stuff. It's not little anymore. Lots of stuff going on. I think that the biggest highlight for those guys at this point is right now that you could still enter into the UTV giveaway. That's through the end of the month. So if you're not a member, hop on there and it'll automatically enter you into the drawing for the UTV, which is sick. It's like $40,000 get up. And then I think if you're on there already, you can invite people to the platform that will also get you entered in for the drawing. So don't forget about that. Paul, you were the star. Well, not one. You were one of the main topics on their podcast this week. Did you happen to catch that?
I haven't, man. I need to listen to that. Hopefully it was good.
Yeah, it was.
Were they just making fun of me the entire time?
There was some of that, but Dan Johnson was on there and he was giving you hell and back and forth, about the Paul Campbell turkey show. So
Oh God.
Yeah. Anywho, we got Midwest Gunworks. So, real quick, I'll tell you, I got that gun, getting ready to go down visit John in Oklahoma. Might make a stop in Missouri to see the boys out there, and I needed something for shooting coyotes and pigs. Got a hold of Cameron.
And groundhogs.
Oh, we'll talk about that. So I talked to Cameron, our buddies over at Midwest Gunworks, got me set up with a pretty sweet AR platform and a 6.5 Creedmoor. Go ahead. You can make fun of it or love it or hate it or whatever. I don't care. It's available.
Douche. Hunting douche.
It's available ammunition and it looks sweet. So it's going to do the job. And I got a chance to finally screw around with that a little bit over the past week. And if you look on our Go Wilder Instagram, you'll see the groundhog that took the one on a chin yesterday.
That was through the X-Vision thermal scope. I think it was pretty sweet.
Yep. So that's our other partner with the X-Vision thermal scope that allows you to record it to your phone. That's such a weird scope. And I don't mean weird in a bad way at all. It's totally like digital. So you don't have dials or anything to change it, you know, the elevation or windage or left or right or anything like that. So you have to like go in and manual enter that to try to get it sighted in. So I'd been sighting it in. And I got like a heat bag, you know, like a hot hand up on my target to give me something with heat so I have something to shoot at. Anyways, I was close, and my shooting abilities are always suspect anyways. Paul, I sat out there yesterday like a sniper in the weeds waiting for that groundhog to poke his head up, and then I sent you that video. I posted it on our stuff, but that poor dude who was digging holes underneath my barn just exploded, and it's all on the video from the X-Vision scope, the TS-200. But I think the funniest part was the cat that was in the bushes.
You didn't know the cat was there.
I didn't know the cat was there. All of a sudden, this cat comes jumping out. I think I scared the shit out of him. But so, yes, thanks to X-Vision and Midwest Gunworks. And Midwest Gunworks, we have a code of Ohio Outdoors 5. Get you 5% off there. And let's see. Shout out to our guys at First Light. Paul, we're talking about your turkey coming up here. And I liked your complete First Light get up there. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Worked well.
It was nice. Worked out. Yeah, it worked out great, man. And it wasn't, Yeah, we'll talk about that, because it really, the first like year really saved me, honestly.
Yeah, because it's warm down there.
It is. Yes, it is.
All right, finally, thank you to our buddies TJ, Josh, the crew over at Half Rack, half-rack.com. We just got, like, literally a code. So if you guys get on their website and at checkout, you can type in Ohio Outdoors 15, save 15% off of your hunting accessories. Lots of cool stuff on there. They got the bow hangers that we talked about. Those are just coming out. I was perusing through there the other day, looking at some different things, but definitely a cool company. Check them out, half-rack.com. I think that's all we got so far, right, Paul?
That's it, man. That's good stuff. Thanks to those companies and people that support the show. So support them as well.
So absolutely. Real quick, news around the state. We've still got your special turkey hunting opportunities available to when you get on there to buy your turkey tag. You can apply for these around the state. Paul and I won them last year. They're a lot of fun. Gives you a little bit of different ground and a new challenge. Oftentimes there's birds there. So
yes,
Lake Erie record smallmouth bass was 16 years old. So let's see. Oh, the 10.15 pound smallmouth bass caught in the Ontario Canadian waters, Lake Erie, in November of 2022 was a 16 year old female. In case you wanted to know, Paul.
Damn, girl.
That fish could drive. Thick. That fish could drive.
She could drive, and she's thick as hell.
Yeah. And we've got another spring wildflower blooming report from ODNR, gold star lily, bloodroot. What do we got?
Bloodroot. Those things are cool, man. Those are cool little flowers.
Snow trillium. Lots of stuff coming up there. A little bit maybe slowed down after we got a little cooler weather here the last couple days. But nonetheless, it's coming. If you get out there, keep your eyes to the ground for sheds and spring wildflowers. So finally, we got some new wildlife officers that are ready to serve. I shared that on one of our, one of the social media things. I saw it pop up, but let's see. We've got some going: Holmes County, Brown County, Guernsey County, Butler County, Scioto County, Washington County, Clinton County, Bainbridge Township, Champaign County, Noble County, and Ashtabula County. So, lots of new officers. Thank you, and good luck out in the field. Paul, that was a quick 8 minutes into the show.
It's good intro. You did all the heavy lifting.
That's all right. As I want to hear your story. But I blew up a groundhog, and you did way more than that. So hit us, buddy. What do we got?
Well, so I'm down here in Central Florida now. I spent a couple of days in Big Cypress Swamp, which is the Everglades. That sucked. It was hot. There were freaking snakes and alligators everywhere. It was cool, I will say. I'll put some pictures up. I'll have you. We'll get them up on Instagram and go wild. Beautiful terrain. Never been down there. Never seen anything like it. The highlight of hunting Big Cypress was I have this Primos Foggy Bottom tube call that I use. And I use it. It's super loud. It will listen to the shot gobble. So I use it essentially as a locating call. And I located a Florida panther with that damn thing. So there was a panther that must have been asleep under a tree. And I hit that thing and it like screamed at me. And I didn't really know what it was at first. I just see like some movement and I hear running. And I was like, man, what was that? So I took my phone out. I go to do a video. I'm like, you're never going to believe this. Like the craziest sound just happened. I'm going to see if I can get to do it again. I did it. You know, I called again and nothing happened. But I was talking to some folks at this general store. I'm like, dude, this sounded like something screaming at me. And they're like, oh yeah, that was a panther. Good job. So that was pretty wild. But I will say, man, that place intimidated the hell out of me months. It was big. It was hot. It was wild. And it was just every morning that I went in, or even in the afternoons, it was one of those like mental battles just to keep my nervous Ohio emotions in check, dealing with that Florida wildlife. So that was fun. I was there for 2 days, 2.5 days, packed up. went over to Southwest Florida and met up with a really good friend of mine, Clyde. He invited me to come down and do some hunting on some property that him and some other guys have. And so Friday night we go out, shot my first wild pig from a tree stand with an AR-15, which was awesome. It was a big female. I sent a video to you of me of her just like running around, like in place, kicking. Dude, she got up, runs into like the palmetto thicket right that like she came out of. And I heard her run maybe 25 or 30 feet and then just crash, right? And so we get down and we're looking for, we give her like an hour, hour and a half, and we're looking for her. And the palmettos were so thick, and the hogs over the years have dug out like literal tunnels underneath the roots of the palmetto. Like big enough that you and I, like definitely you, maybe not me, but definitely like you could crawl through them. And then they're underground. I mean, it is the craziest thing. And that's how they move back and forth.
Some of the videos and stuff you were sending me, I mean, I want nothing to do with that terrain.
Yeah.
And that stuff was just disgusting. And you can call me a puss or whatever, but no, that was did not look fun.
It is so very unique to just Southern Florida. And it was wild, man. It was unlike anything that I've experienced. And yeah, we look at it and we're like, man, that looks crazy, but it's beautiful in a sense, you know, just, and it's very unique in a sense. The pig tunnels I couldn't find, we couldn't find this pig. I mean, she for sure died, dude. I lunged her, which those animals are so tough, you know, talking to them. They're like, oh no, it's headshots with those pigs.
What caliber was it?
It was a 223.
I'm curious. Yeah.
Yeah. So I put a good shot on her. I saw the entrance, and then when she got up and kind of rolled over, I saw the exit. I mean, it was decent, you know, some good blood. Not a ton. I mean, I'm sure she was bleeding heavily inside, but yeah, couldn't find her, man. So that sucked.
That was a good sized pig too.
It was, yeah. She was a big pig.
You could be a big pig too.
So so I guess you know, population control, they're invasive down there. She's gonna die. Sucks I didn't get to, find her and butcher her up. But so the next morning, we go out, we set up an area that one of the other guys down on the property had killed a turkey a couple of weeks ago. And we hear some gobbling, nothing too close. And so we get up, we kind of move, and we're right along. So there's a creek that normally floods, and it floods this cypress forest. And the turkeys just love it because it's cool, it's damp, there's bugs everywhere. There's a ton of, you know, worms and all sorts of stuff for them to eat. So they really like those cypress forests. That's where they roosted and spent a lot of time. So we go in there and we're walking and we call. And I've told you this, and if you've turkey hunted, you guys understand this, but in like in Ohio, when the leaves come out and you can hear a turkey because of the way that the forest like deadens the sound because of the vegetation, the turkeys are closer than what they are like the first couple of weeks of the season when there's no vegetation. I mean, you can hear a turkey gobbling much, much farther. So I'm calling as we're walking, and we cover, you know, I don't know, 1500 yards or whatever it is. I don't know, maybe more. And a turkey gobbles, returns my call. And so I'm like looking around, I'm like, okay. And in my mind, like I'm programmed to think, okay, this I can hear this turkey. This turkey's probably like 130 yards away max. So I'm like, I'm looking around. I see a real nice area. I'm like, okay, we can get in there. There's something. I don't have a decoy, so there's something in between us and the turkey. Like we can get a good setup. We can hide here. Dude, we spooked this turkey. We took a couple steps and just gone. Because it's so thick down there that he was way closer than I thought. So that was like a learning lesson. I was pretty upset. I'm like, dude, still early in the day. You know, at this point, it's like, you know, 11 o'clock. I'm like, all right, we'll be okay. So we go back, we get lunch, and we were talking about areas in that cypress forest. Because I was going to blind. And the one thing that I've learned, like, down in Florida, you look at the aerial views of these on Onyx, and everything just looks green. Like, you don't, I mean, you don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know what, if there's water. I mean, you don't know how thick it is. So it's really hard to read maps. And like, you'll see like an open area, but it's got 5 foot palmettos everywhere. And it just looks like a green field, but it's not. So it's pretty wild how the maps are. So we were just talking, and he's just like, well, there's some of these like little small open areas. And we passed some, we saw a couple. I'm like, man, these are really nice. And they're open grassy areas in the middle of the cypress forest. And they're not very big. I mean, these are maybe half an acre to an acre at most within this little, within the cypress forest. So I'm like, dude, let's get in one of those little areas. We know that there's a turkey. There's a couple turkeys in there. We heard them gobbling. We spooked one. So let's go back to that like general area. Let's find one of those open areas. And we set up, and dude, we're there for like 2 hours. And so we got a little tiny hen decoy out in this little grassy field, grassy clearing. No Jake decoy, just a hen decoy. And which is neat, because I haven't hunted with decoys a lot. Like, this, it was pretty neat.
Yeah, you and I haven't been. I mean, when I've gone with you, we haven't done much.
Yeah, just keep them in case you need them. This is one of those, like, I need them. So we're set up, and I'm calling, and nothing. And it's like 90 degrees. And every once in a while, there's a little breeze that rolls through, and you're like, oh, God, this feels so good. But I'll tell you the one thing that really saved me, I had my first light. I had that merino wool, that short sleeve Spectre
wick
base wick. Yeah, wick is the name of it. And it's just a short sleeve shirt. And then over it, I had that that leafy suit, that phantom leafy suit. And that leafy suit is like, it's just like netting with the cut fabric. So I was pretty comfortable. I was still sweating like a pig. And so I turn around and look at my friend Clyde. He's, you know, like maybe 4 or 5 feet to my right and just a little bit back. And we're there for 2 hours and nothing. This is his first turkey hunt ever. And so I know, I'm like, dude, he's having a miserable time. Like, this sucks. Dude, I'm dumping sweat. I look at him and he is dumping sweat. We both pull our face masks down. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what we're going to do, man. You know, we're talking about your different strategies. There's all these like there's like a road, like a mowed road down the borders of cypress. I'm like, man, I was like, you know, we could walk through there, see if we strike anything up. I was like, it's going to be hot. And I'm like, we've put all of our eggs into one basket coming here and sitting for so long and not moving. I know we're in the right area. There's turkeys in the air. And we're talking full volume. I mean, both of our masks are down. My shotgun is laying on the ground. My legs are spread flat. I'm on like my side, like rolled over on my hip, looking at Clyde, talking to him, not trying to be quiet at all. And dude, this freaking turkey cracks one off 50 feet from us and behind us. I mean, just a thundering gobble. And Clyde's eyes get like freaking silver dollars, because that's the first turkey that he's ever heard. That's the closest that, I mean, 50 feet, that's the closest I've been to a turkey. And so like immediately we both like real slow pull our masks up, and I'm moving as slow as I can. I grab my shotgun. My legs are still down. They're not knees up, like, which is the best way to shoot a turkey, I guess. But I pull my shotgun up, pull my mask off, and that sucker cracks off another one. And he's even closer. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to happen.
It's happening. He is
just over my left shoulder and behind me, and he is drumming so loud, and he's doing his little, which is the sound of a drum. And I don't, forgive me, I don't have my microphone set up. We're running off of the microphone of my laptop here. So hopefully you guys can hear that. But, and you can hear him. They fluff their, like, they like run. It's like they're running air through their feathers, and they vibrate them. They do all these crazy noises that you only hear when you're that close. And I've never been that close to a live turkey. And so I can, like, he let that second gobble rip. And I start getting nervous. I start shaking. And so I close my eyes. I'm like, dude, freaking relax. Like, it's going to be okay. Deep breath. So I close my eyes. I relax. Ah, deep breath. Oh! I mean, dude, right over my shoulder. Like, you can feel it, man. And I mean, it is like the loudest thing. And it's almost like robotic in sound. Like, it's just, it's such a, when they're that close, man, it's such a weird sound. And I've got, so I'm looking at you, but I don't want to move. So I've got my head turned just the tiniest few degrees to the left. And I've got my eyes buried as far over to the left side as of my head as I can, just to see out of the peripheral of this when this turkey walks in. And he walks into the woods, or walks out of the cypress into the little clearing, and he is 15 feet from me. No more than 20, 15 feet. And I'm like, oh my God. So my gun is pointed, the decoy's to my right, he's to my left, and it's pointed in the middle. And I'm just going to let him walk right in front of it and just let it happen. I don't know if he saw me. I don't know if he didn't like the decoy. I don't know what it was, but he stops and turns. I'm like, nope. And so I swing as fast as I could. I get on him, and he was so close, 50 feet. I shot right over his head because that, I mean, it was just, dude, it was so fast, you know, swing. And I didn't get on him. And in my mind, I'm like, don't miss. And so I roll my entire body forward, and I get on him. I know I've got a really nice shotgun. I'm comfortable with it. I've got TSS. I know that I can shoot out pretty far if I have to. I'm not going to. So I give myself time to get lined up on my shotgun. So I know that I'm down on it. I put it right on. I wanted a bigger target, so I kind of like aimed right at the base of his neck, and he's running like full speed. And so I aim at the base of his neck on his side, and dude freaking rolled him, smacked him. And out loud, I'm like, and if you don't want to hear curse words, turn it down now. We'll give you a 3, 2, 1. Oh shit, I hit him. And I pop up, dude. Yes. I leave my shotgun there, and I am running full speed at this turkey, dude, as fast as I can. Yes. And he's flopping, dude. I grab his neck, and I'm just like, I'm just like, rah! I was like, oh my God, I did it. I freaking killed him. And Clyde's running up. I'm like, oh my God, we're hugging each other. Dude, this turkey's flopping. And dude, it was unbelievable. My first Osceola wild turkey. What a moment. And it was neat, man. And he's still alive. I'll send you the video. I don't want to put it on Instagram. Probably put it on Go Wild, but. And he's like flopping around. I'm like, oh my. And I just, and I didn't know Clyde was videoing. I was like, are you videoing? He's like, yeah. And I just talked real quick, but it was cool, man. Just like being able to look back and hear like the emotion and excitement in my voice. And one of the things that's really neat, like when you kill a wild turkey, like immediately after that kill, their head is like so vibrant with the red, the white, and the blue. And like that life is like, it's just slipping out of them quick. So like, those colors start to fade like really quick. And in the video, I'm like, dude, you got to come see this. Come see his head. Come see his face. Put that phone down. I want you to look at it. And it's something really neat that, you know, if you're a turkey hunter and you pay attention, like you can see that, you know, watch that life just slip out of them, watch the color fade. But just for those few, like first, you know, 60, 90 seconds after you kill them, man, it just is pretty and as vibrant as you can possibly imagine. And it was just really cool, man. Just touching him, looking in his feathers, and yeah, it was cool. But look at this. This is on the video. So you guys can't see it.
Oh, buddy.
Look at that. That's
totally those, worth it.
That's those. So my, I think.
Paul's showing us a picture of his armpit basically that is very bruised from the,
oh
kick
dude, it's
of that
the
gun.
Size of, the size of what, a baseball? I don't know.
That's big.
I don't know. Dude. And I mean, I don't know. It must have been when I rolled, you know, it slid out of my shoulder. And so it's that kind of like that pocket right below. But dude, it is so sore, man. I didn't even notice it until I got in the shower last night. I'm like, holy crap, look at that thing.
Right.
So, but totally, man, it was awesome, dude. Oh, totally worth it.
That's great.
So I caped him out. I'm gonna do it. Did I send you that picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a turkey cape mount on him, and he's packed in freaking 10 pounds of dry ice and a bunch of regular ice, and he's frozen solid. So I'm gonna keep them frozen until I make my way home in a few days. So
that's exciting. So where are you out to now?
So I'm in Central Florida. I've got an NWTF hunt that we're working down here, me and two of my coworkers. And then after that, next week, Monday and Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, I think I'm going to hunt with some folks from Alabama.
In Alabama.
In Alabama on my way home. Their season opens up for Saturday, and one of the guys invited me to come up and hunt with them. So I'm going to take him up on that. So
in theory, you could come back with two of the four birds that you need.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. On the How to Hunt Turkeys podcast, I had Team Wingbone on, and we talked about the potential of me having being able to get a Grand Slam in 1 year. And one of the guys, his nickname's Hind Leg, he said, "Don't get stuck on third base." And so I sent him a video of me holding the turkey. I'm like, first base. So pressure's on, man. Pressure's on. Hopefully hopefully on my way home to Ohio, I'm halfway to a 1 year Grand Slam. So
that would be awesome.
I've got a couple of Eastern hunts planned and then one Merriam's hunt planned. So I've told my lovely, patient, adoring wife, love you, that if I get three out of the four, I'm just going to go after the Rio, and I'll be home after that either that season closes or I get that Grand Slam. I can't not go, So well, yeah, that's it, man. First Osceola, dude. Freaking amazing experience. Thanks to Clyde and his buddies and his friends that let me, they were gracious enough to share their awesome land with me, man. It was a great time, and it was cool, man. It's another, that's the hunt that I want to get you on,
I know.
Like, and it was funny. Like at the end of it, Clyde's like, "Dude, I had no idea that they sounded like that." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." And he's like, "That was so loud and amazing." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." I was like, "Do you like it?" And he's like, he texted me today. He's like, "I bought a hen decoy. I gave him a turkey call. I gave him his first turkey call and a turkey, wild turkey vest." So he's hooked, man. I love that stuff. I love getting people in on that. But it's those good hunts, man, where you see like the heart and soul of like what it means to be a turkey hunter, why you do it. And you just, I got it in freaking droves, dude. It was just insane.
I could go for that. Like I can get into the idea, but not in Florida. So
yeah.
Come back up here. We'll play in the Ohio woods, and
that's it. That. Oh, buddy, we got Ohio and Michigan together. So that's right.
That's right. So, well, that was Paul's recap of the Osceola, right? And then we're gonna put here on the back end. You did this interview solo when I had a couple things going on, but you met with Nick Vincent and what's the name of his group? You guys were talking about it's a veterans group, right? Ohio.
Yeah,
veterans.
Ohio veterans group. They're conducting a veterans turkey hunt this year. I'm going to try to get down and help and guide one of their hunts. Still trying to work through that, but I think we're going to make that happen. So it's I feel terrible. The name's skipping me, right? It's skipping my mind right now. It's been a long week, but we talk about their website there during the interview. So yeah, check that out.
Ohio Vets Outdoors, I think is what it is.
I think that's it. Yep. Website and the Facebook. So Nick, our buddy, was on it, and then Sean, the state president, was on it. So a really good chat. This is 10 or 12 minutes long, just giving you guys an update. So if you are a veteran here in the state of Ohio or know a veteran, this is a veteran organization geared towards getting vets in the outdoors and using hunting and fishing and the outdoors and the camaraderie and everything that goes along with it to help veterans heal from everything that they've been through and really give them a sense of community. So it's a really neat program. I think we'll do everything we can to help them out. So
awesome. Well, Paul, I appreciate you sharing your story with us. Good luck on the rest of your voyage.
And, thanks, man.
We'll talk to everybody next week. Get out there and then enjoy the outdoors, find some sheds, do some scouting, check out those wildflowers, check out our partners. If you've got any insight, we want to leave a review, go that route. We've got our website, theo2podcast.com. It's the.o2.podcast on Instagram, O2podcast on Go Wild. And we will talk to you guys next week.
See you guys.
we had quite a few events, and we were able to help to around 100 vets. There were 100 participants. We had a couple walleye charters. We had our, this past deer season, we did not have the archery hunt. Something came up and we had to cancel it. But we've kind of refocused. We want to do more quality as opposed to quantity. So we're narrowing it down to just a couple events, putting more time, effort, and I don't want to say thought because we put a lot of thought in all of them, but put more focus on those smaller events so it can be a more personal touch and get a little bit closer with each one of the vets.
Sure.
But yeah.
Talk about some of the struggles that veterans face when they, you know, just immediately after they're done with their service and then the years and decades that follow. What are some of the struggles that those folks deal with?
So, I'll just a little bit backstory with me as far as OVO goes. So I was a friend that I went to church with. He told me, man, I need to check out this group, Ohio Veterans Outdoors. And so I got a hold of him. I turned in the stuff that I needed to turn in, you know, because we do vet the vets basically to make sure, you know, that we don't have anybody coming out that could cause any harm to themselves or any of the other veterans. So I went on a Mount Oreb. We went to Mount Oreb and we had I think it was a gun hunt then. It may have been archery. I can't remember. It's been several years ago. I can't even think exactly when it was. And then, so I went to that and I really enjoyed myself. And then, they asked me again if I wanted to go to Colorado. We went to Colorado on an elk hunt and it was Brian and then our vice president, Travis and a veteran from Cleveland and then myself. And we went to Colorado and I think we saw two elks that was just driving down the road. We didn't see anything, but the camaraderie and everything was kind of cool. So I'm like, all right. So Brian, he asked me, you know, like, you know, we're getting a board started with this. Are you interested in the board? And I was like, man, I don't really know anything. Cause you know, I don't know what exactly is going in and out of it. I can guide and help hunt and stuff like that. But, cause I'm not a combat vet. I went in right in after Desert Storm. And then, I got out in 99, I think, or 90, December of 98 or something. So I was in for several years and I was in between the conflicts, everything that was going on. So I was like, nah, I'm not really worthy to get on there. And it's like, you know, I had to learn myself since I'm not a combat vet that, really getting out there and just talking with guys. And, even if I'm not, hadn't been in combat, you know, we're still a brotherhood and we, you know, even though we're in different branches and whatever. So I joined on with that and you know, we've, the biggest thing that, you know, vets have been dealing with here as of late, you know, the 22, veterans committing suicide a day. I don't know exactly if the number's higher or lower right now, but that's kind of what they've been dealing with. And the PTSD and things that, you know, they've seen that nobody else has seen and they've had to deal with, and then come back home and then the stigma attached to it. And, you know, also being men and there are women too that, veterans that struggle with this stuff, but, men struggle to, talk about their feelings a lot. So we get these guys out there and women, and we take them out and kind of take their mind off of, what's going on in their life at the time. And, you know, it's a lot of, honestly, we dog on each other. You know, Navy makes fun of the Air Force and the Air Force makes fun of the Army and the Army makes fun of the jarheads or the Marines and things of that nature and tell lies and all this stuff. So it's basically being back in the military and it gives them a sense of home, being around like-minded people and people that's gone through the same thing. And even though I haven't struggled with them, you know, or, you know, been where they've been, sometimes all they need is an ear to listen. And not judge them or look at them a certain way for what they had to do or, things of that nature. So, I always go back to, and I know I'm jumping ahead here because I've never did no podcast before. So
you're doing great. I'll say that.
Yeah. So I went, I remember going on a, we went on the first archery hunt I got to go on. And I was with a Navy corpsman, and he actually had a twin brother that was, I believe he was a corpsman as well. And they were twins. So I had him out there in the stand, and we're sitting out there, and, you know, and he starts going into some of the things he, you know, he's seen and done while he was overseas. And I was like, man, this is some heavy stuff. I'm glad he's opened up with me, you know? And I was like, okay, it's time to lighten it a little bit. And so I started telling some jokes and stuff like that, some stories just about my crazy life sometimes. And we ended up started laughing so loud that there was not a deer within miles of us the whole time. And then that's when, you know, I really got it that this is, it's about the hunt or the fish or whatever, you know, that's the cool part of it, but it's just being around people and just talking and getting things off your chest that you're not going to be looked at a certain way. So that's when I fell in love with it. And then got on the board, and I've just kind of trudged along here. I'm the treasurer, and I've trudged along here for the past, oh, I don't know. It seems like it's been 4 years now, I guess. It seems like I've been that long on the board. And even with the same guy that, you know, I was out in the woods with, his twin brother, he struggled so much that he ended up taking his life. And that was a rough time, but, you know, we circled around him and tried to take care of him the best we could, you know. So it's kind of one of them things, especially when it hits home and with the family, that's when it really, it just really sucks. So that's kind of my little spiel on that. You know, it's hard for me to explain. I can sit and explain it all day long, but, you know, unless you actually talk to someone that's physically dealing with it, it's, you know, I can't bring any light to it other than just, you know, my experience. So.
Sure. Yeah. That's something that, yeah, it's such an intensely personal thing. And that's just a dark, dark place, you know, for many. And I understand you can't explain that, you know, and yeah, that's a staggering stat, man. 22 vets a day commit suicide. I mean, that's heartbreaking. You know, when you hear stuff like that, and, you know, there's something therapeutic about being in the woods, being on the water, being around, absolutely, you know, fellow, you know, people that are doing the same. And it doesn't matter if you're killing deer or catching fish or whatever the hell it is. I mean, you know, just that camaraderie that you have. And that's what I enjoy, you know? Yeah. It's great putting turkey fans on the wall or whatever, but my friends, my son that I get to hunt with, that's the stuff that, yeah, that's really important. So I think that's really neat. And kind of a mission statement. Your mission statement on your website is, our mission is to promote veteran wellness through outdoor experiences and education. And that's as simple as it gets. But that statement is, I mean, it's just massive impact, massive positive impact. So, Nick, what are some of the events that the organization does or has coming up this year that veterans can look forward to?
So coming up in our next event is actually next weekend. We have an Arkansas goose hunt that is booked. We have all the spots filled. Following that is turkey. I don't think we have the dates set on any of the upcoming events that I'm going to say, but we put all of our events out on Facebook. That's primarily what we go through. If you get on our website, everything works. It's a little bit dated though, working on that. But after turkey, we'll have a welcome home classic fishing, which that's a multi-day event. I think the turkey's 2 days. And then the fishing classic, that's out in
Brookville, Indiana.
Brookville, Indiana. Yeah, we got a friend who is very, very helpful and supportive of OVO, and his father was as well, and also a veteran. So he lends his place out on Brookville Lake, and we go out there for a couple days and get some vets, some fish, if we can, if they bite. And yeah, after that, I'm probably missing something, but I think that's after that's the big archery, deer archery. Or am I missing?
Yeah, we that's kind of what it is. I don't know if we'll have a squirrel hunt. We do have a squirrel hunt too. That's kind of a 1 day deal where we go down and squirrel hunt for 1 day. And then, then it would be the archery hunt. So,
oh, I missed one.
What's that?
Our first, all right. Well, this will be our second year doing it, is the, annual archery shoot that we have. It's a fundraiser. So all of our events are veteran only, Ohio veteran only, even the Brookville, Indiana one. We only take Ohio vets. It's in our name. That's what we're trying to, focus our impact. But up in Toledo, last year we had it at Toledo Metro Parks at the West Winds. It's a public course, 3D course. Had some prizes that we gave out for top shooters, top scores, and we're hoping to do that again this year. But it's a fundraiser, so we are asking for money for non-veterans. But as with all of our events, vets get in free for that. So.
Yeah. Can I speak about the events kind of?
Yeah, absolutely.
More in depth. So we have, we actually have a guy that's a chef that he cooks our meals, for most of the events we have, especially the archery hunt. Let's go back to the turkey hunt. There's a guy that has donated his cabin for us to go and stay down in Jackson. And, so we go up there and we have some guys, I guess there's some world-class turkey callers that come out there. I've tried to hunt turkey, but I ain't never been close to getting one. So, but Brian's really heavy into the turkey hunt. He has, he's got turkeys, grand slam stuff. I don't know all the ins and outs of all that stuff. He hasn't got all of them, but he's working on it. But, so with that event there, we take vets up there. And I think even the last couple of years we've had a vet that's been, so we have, I'll speak to some of the vets here later who we have, but, we get up there and we go turkey hunting. Everybody seems to enjoy it. The biggest thing about our events is we pay for everything. We'll buy your turkey tag. We'll buy your deer tag. We pay for the processing when it comes to a deer, turkey, anything and everything you need. You basically show up. And we'll get you what you need to hunt with, even if that's, a shotgun or we've had crossbows that's been donated and
camo.
Yeah, gear. Camo, anything and everything we can hook a vet up with where they just got to show up and come out there. So the turkey hunt's a pretty good experience. I try to show up to everything, even if I don't come out because I can't call turkeys. So but I at least show up. I enjoy that. The Brookville fishing trip is it's probably one of my favorites because there's two families that are Vietnam veterans and they cook the meals for us. So the first night we have a big meal and then the second night they have a fish fry for us. So they prepare all the meals and cook, and we get together. And like I said, we just hang around bullshit. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean if we ain't allowed to cuss.
You're good. So, yeah. Okay. No, you're good.
So the Brookville fishing trip to me is really cool. And then, like I said, we did start the squirrel hunts, the other one that I was speaking of, and then the archery hunt. And that's the one where it's the same thing. The guys come down. I think it's usually like six vets. And people have donated their land for us to come out and hunt on. And like I said, the chef, I live up here in Bethel, like New Carlisle. And our chef, he lives in New Carlisle. So he comes out and he does most of the cooking. He drives from New Carlisle all the way down to Clarksville, where we're based out of. And so we have that. And every year, it's usually around Veterans Day. And then we got the Marine Corps birthday, and we always celebrate that. pull out a big saber, cut a little cake in half, and the oldest nice. And the youngest fade the cake to each other. So that's always kind of a blast. But whether we kill deer stuff. Or not, whether we kill deer or not, we just really have a good time and hang out. And we've gotten some really good guys and ladies that's come out and hunted with us. I would say the vet that we do a lot with, he's a Vietnam veteran. He he made it through Vietnam, then came back, and he was jumping. And when he jumped, he, I think it was a tree landing, and it ended up, I think it broke his back. So he's, so that would be a paraplegic. Mm-hmm. And he's, so he's 70s, he's 70 something years old. So he's been in a wheelchair since 68 or 69. So the older he gets, the more we're like pushing him to get out there and get out there and do more things. And it's gotten to be where, you know, we've taken care of him and had to do certain things for him, but we've had, we've had double amputees. My one buddy, he's a single amputee. We've had him getting out there. I mean, basically, if you want to get out there, man, we'll throw you on our back, drag you through the mud, whatever we got to do to get you out there to have a good time. So,
oh yeah, good stuff. So, if you're listening to this program right now and you're a veteran, talk to those guys. Talk to the men and women that are listening to this that might want to get involved, might be struggling. What can you say to them?
Nick, you want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, talk to somebody. We're happy to listen. I'm not a veteran, but I do what I can to help those who I can. I can't relate. I wasn't in the service at all, but I'm always happy to listen. Sometimes that's all it takes. Sitting in the blind with a veteran, he told me that the happiest thing he saw was that I was there, a civilian. Specifically to people who, to a veteran who needs to talk to somebody, we have 7 board members, 6 of those, including Shane, our veteran. We're all happy to talk. Happy to have you out. If you need some support, we'll find a way to support you. We'll if you need somebody to come out and go hunting with you, give you a little bit of a guide, we'll do what we can. Wouldn't necessarily be an OBO event, but you know, we don't necessarily care about that. We want to help veterans. I mean, we're living by the mission. It's whether it's through an event or not.
Yeah. Yeah, good deal. And if you're listening to this and you have the capabilities to donate to this organization, please do it. I mean, this is, you guys pay for everything. That's really neat. And those costs, I understand that adds up very quickly.
Oh, yeah. We take nothing. 100% of the donations go to paying for tags, paying for gear if we need to buy it. We get a lot of stuff donated gear-wise, shells, other ammunition. But there's always costs that donations, physical donations don't actually cover. It's anybody can support, and we absolutely appreciate any support.
Yeah. Good deal. Gentlemen, give me the website one more time, if you would.
OHVetsOutdoors.org.
Do you guys have Facebook?
Yeah, we got Facebook, Instagram, I think we have Twitter. I don't know if we ever really post anything on Twitter, but Facebook's our big one. I'm on Go Wild, Nick Vincent. I am working on getting a Go Wild for Ohio Vets, but I got to get that.
What's a Go Wild?
Shane, I told you about this. Don't embarrass me.
That sounds weird to me. Go ahead.
It's a good social media app.
Okay.
For outdoors.
Yeah, good. It's a great platform. So gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Shane, thank you for your service. Thank you for your dedication to supporting veterans in this state and beyond, quite frankly. And Nick, thanks for your time volunteering, helping take care of our veterans here in the state and get them into the great outdoors. Whatever your organization needs from me personally, needs from Andrew Muntz, needs from the Ohio Outdoors Podcast, you let us know. We're here to help you guys, here to support you and every veteran in the state that wants to get out there. So thank you guys. Really appreciate your time.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Appreciate your time.